ABC Radio Australia.
Close to 1,000 health experts and officials, including those from the Pacific, are here in Melbourne for the World Health Summit. The event brings health professionals alongside political leaders to try and find solutions to the biggest health problems facing the world. Joining us this morning is Torres Strait Islander health professional and academic Francis Nonna. Good morning and thank you for joining us, Francis.
Good morning and thank you for having me.
No, not a problem at all. I guess just firstly, summarise the event a bit for us. What's going to be on the agenda?
The World Health Summit comes together in a regional meeting that feeds up to the World Health Organization. So seeing some of the issues within the globe from a regional aspect that then we look at, it feeds up into the World Health Organization to take from the recommendations of different regions.
Very interesting. So why is Indigenous knowledge important in dealing with the health impacts of the climate crisis?
When we think of Indigenous knowledges, and this is one of the hardest things to get over because what is deemed as evidence, as an Indigenous knower, we've got to draw from these knowledges that have been passed down from generations to now that have, you know, combated the local adaption, holistic approach, sustainable practices. These practices emphasise sustainability and the careful management of natural resources, you know, and the cultural relevance for health interventions that incorporate Indigenous knowledges. And we're starting to see a change where people have sold it as an equilibrium space where Indigenous knowledges are at the table, but it's an unequal space where Indigenous knowledges have been left out, where we are creating policies, but we're not drawing from local knowledges for different regions. And I think this is one of the big key aspects of mine to drive that, you know, these knowledges have to be put into policy for changes.
And how was your message received at events like the World Health Summit?
Yeah, I was starting to see a change where at places like this, there is a great respect for those knowledges, but the key structures are within governments and so forth. But I went to Dubai, COP28, and there was a lot of Indigenous communities fighting the same fight to, you know, emphasise the importance of having their voice at the table. And here at the World Health Summit, it has been great. I follow a lot of Indigenous scholars that are showing the evidence, the importance, you know, the worldview of an Indigenous knower, but also drawing those community local adaptation strategies that are successful to tables like this that then feed up to recommendations to enforce that we have to look at different ways to tackle this climate crisis. If we were to go off the last 20 years and not have those voices there, we are still going to see the same problems. And the people that are being affected are Indigenous communities, the most vulnerable in places that are going to be firstly affected.
Yeah, it's good to hear there's progress being made, but it does sound like there's still work that needs to be done. And just on that, what does still need to be done to get Indigenous leaders to the negotiation table at climate talks?
Yeah, we really have to get it into policy. We really have to get it into the mechanisms that force the changes as we see down to local government areas. And it's really bringing other scholars, bringing other people to advocate that this is an important issue for change. And we have to get to a place where we're not just hearing it, we're starting to embed it and embedding the Indigenous knowledges into all policy and all local government strategies is where change will happen. So it's starting to get people aware. One of the comments that came out was, how do we get it to evidence? And I said, who's deeming the evidence? You know, as an Indigenous scholar, I'm fighting the fight to my own epistemology, my own methodology, and to deem it as evidence. And we need to get people on board to go, there is strength in this. There is strength in this knowledge that we've got to use for mitigation and adaptation strategies.
What sort of impact does climate change have on Indigenous communities, and how does that compare to non-Indigenous communities?
You know, I think from where I'm from in the Torres Straits, and, you know, just even the media coverage of, you know, in a first world country, Torres Strait could be the first asylum seekers. And, you know, when we think in the Pacific, there are a lot of issues that are happening, and that media coverage is very small. However, you know, when we think of local-based, you know, connection to country and place, why are these people who were so vulnerable having to just go, let's just move? If this happened in the Gold Coast in Queensland and there was, you know, erosion on the beaches, they'll be fixing, they will be there, there'll be attention. But yet these Indigenous communities, you know, who have huge impacts to the local area are not getting the attention or the, So I just think that there has to be a shift in the way we see it. And the relational bit is, as you know, just because it's not your region, it's not your area, doesn't mean that you don't give care to it. Because if it was something that would draw money to a state, then we would be making those changes. We would be putting in strategies.
Absolutely. That collective empathy is very important, I think. We know Indigenous communities, that they are at the front line of the climate crisis. Why is good health important for these communities, and how can events such as the World Health Summit help to impact that?
Yeah, Indigenous people, especially within Australia, it's well documented of the comorbidities that Indigenous people face. Well, the climate crisis is going to exacerbate that. And when we think of, you know, just some of the isolations of the regions and the exacerbation of the chronic diseases, we're going to see a real shift where, you know, how do we support these communities when we think, you know, I don't want to make it a deficit mindset, but they're already facing comorbidities with chronic diseases, cardiovascular diseases, renal diseases. And then you throw in climate crisis where access to healthcare, you know, sustainable practices to actually deliver healthcare. And these communities are in so remote regions, it's not just as easy as saying move to the bigger cities and so forth. You know, their families, the connections to countries, and it's how do we deliver healthcare in those regions while sustaining.
And just finally, Francis, what are the next steps for you in spreading the word about Indigenous knowledge and using it to fight health problems brought on by climate change?
Yeah, for me, I lead a project within here in Australia, looking at a rights-based approach. So looking at international mechanisms like the UNDRIP, which is how do we combat at a federal level policies that actually support Indigenous communities. And my PhD, which I'm in, looks at climate and health and how do we embed Indigenous knowledges into policy. But this discussion paper that I will write, it hopefully will start generating the conversation and a coalition with the federal government to say there's international frameworks within the world, Indigenous communities use them. How do we make them value for us? How do we start working alongside the government? And, you know, there was a saying I said in Parliament here in Canberra was, either you work with us or fight us in the courts. We have now come to a place where this is an urgent issue. And that's why we're starting to see court cases starting to show to fight for countries, to fight for our lands.